Unity, the strength and assured success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity.
Oh, solidarity, baby.
United we stand.
Yeah, well, pretty much, if we don't all stick together, we're all hang separate. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome one and all, new listeners and old listeners alike. It's very fabulous to have you here. Speaking of very fabulous to have here, I have a very special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Shepard Ambellis from the IntelHub.com, one of the most ridiculously awesome, groundbreaking news sources and civilian intelligence agencies in the world today. Shepard, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Shepard, are you there?
Yeah, I am, Vinnie. Sorry about that. How's it going?
Well, you know, borderlining on fabulous is my party line, and that's how I'll be voting this election.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I even trust voting anymore with these, the electronic voting machines, all this, different systems they've implemented.
It kind of gives me comfort to know that when I vote, my election will be rigged, because that way I can be sure of the outcome.
Just follow the money and then you're good.
Yeah. If you hump the leg of the money, I'm sure, you'll be rewarded handsomely. It's just this disgusting kind of free-for-all and this sort of beastly feast that the New World Order is having on our countries at the moment.
You know, you could almost place bets on, who's going to be the next president. You can see how they're funded. You would almost make more than placing bets on horse racing.
Well, if you take that into effect, like the stock market, for example, they created all these derivatives, which are essentially just bets on stock. So what if we created a stock called Obama's going to win 2012 election versus Obama's going to lose 2012 election, and we sell that stock out to the public and then inflate it and create an enormous, massive debt bubble that everybody who's actually interested in the current election will fill up and will steal all their money?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sounds like their perfect plan they've cooked up. You know, it's almost comical anymore. You've heard of shows like The Truman Show, these movies, and I really feel like I'm in a Truman Show now. I'm sitting here watching the mainstream media during the day. I monitor it just so I can, clearly see, what's going on behind the scenes. And it's literally like, they should hire whoever they've hired now to do all the staging of this stuff should actually be fired. And maybe they should go back to, hiring someone else, maybe someone in the special effects field or, an actual script writer, because the stuff they're coming up with lately just isn't making sense and none of it's matching up.
Well, apparently there was a big writer's strike in L.A. Perhaps all the guys...
Yeah,
it's just... You're right, it is comical. Whenever I want to have a good old-fashioned belly laugh, I watch an Obama speech, and it just cracks me up, man. Cracks me up. It's like almost as if every single sentence, that kind of point of a sentence where his head kind of bowls from one teleprompter on the left to the other on the right?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like in the time it takes him to do something like that, he'll spread an enormous sea of BS, mm-hmm. which is incidentally his real initials,
mm-hmm.
and... it'll just crack me up, because how can anybody put that much BS into a speech?
It's a new bumper sticker. Barry Sotoyo equals BS.
Yeah. I was just President BS for short. Because that's everything that a speech is in this day and age. Every single leader that gets up, you know that they're all full of that old order money, and they've been selected and groomed for a long time to ensure that they'll sell out. So they've got heaps of, you know, dirt on them that could be released if they cut against the system. It's a very well rigged game.
Sure, sure. They've got it pretty wrapped up now. However, you know, lately they've been making a couple bobbles, and now's the time to catch them off guard when they're bobbling. You know, they're fumbling around with different stories about Bin Laden. They don't, you know, none of it matches up. Of course, the Pakistani military has their own story. You know, they carted off something under a tarp early on. And I was analyzing photographs of this, what they claim is the tail section to this stealth helicopter. And if you look at this photo, it's the notorious photo where they say it's the tail section. It's propped up against a brick wall in what they claim is the alleged Bin Laden compound. But if you look at the photo close, it appears as if that's almost the tip of a craft facing down to the ground, and you're looking at it from a top view. Now, the reason I can say this isn't a tail section to an aircraft pretty definitively is I've had, you know, people look at this, but I myself have analyzed it, and anyone listening to this broadcast can analyze it. If you look at that photograph, and you imagine that's a little mini drone helicopter, maybe with equipped with black jet technology or stealth technology, and the tips oriented down, you'll see that these wings go from left to right across, like you're looking down on at them from the top. Well, if you look at the photos floating around on the internet of a stealth helicopter that they have put out now on some of these defense websites, you can see, and in my opinion, they drafted this thing up pretty quick to cover for themselves. But you look at the tail section from this helicopter, and if you'll realize that these wings that are on this object that's propped up against this wall, compared to a tail section on the helicopter, are on an entirely different axis, and they're 90 degrees to the axis to top it off. So what I'm getting at here is it's essentially, this isn't the tail section of a helicopter. And then you start taking into consideration why none of the story matches up, and some of the other bits and pieces from the people on the ground, the people in Pakistan, the head of intelligence of Pakistan quit. There's some strange circumstances going on. Leads me to believe that is what happened with this whole Bin Laden thing is nothing more than possibly a piece of secret technology, and or maybe even, you know, some other government's secret technology, but more than likely U.S. technology crashed in the backyard, just some random backyard in Pakistan that has nothing to do with Bin Laden. And we went in to retrieve this under the cover of night, possibly with the Night Stalkers, which the Night Stalkers 160th, that's a whole different story, but they've been featured on shows like UFO Hunters on the History Channel, and the Night Stalkers 160th are known in the UFO world. If you really do your research and you do it good, they're known to respond to UFO encounters, UFO crashes, and they're the best of the best ultra black op elite helicopter pilots. So they were involved in this scenario, supposedly SEAL Team 6. I mean, in my opinion, this is nothing more than they went in to try to retrieve this technology, and they failed at it. They had to release a story saying that it was a stealth helicopter, of course, covering for what it really was, which we could only imagine. But if you pull up the photograph and look at it, you might be able to envision what I'm saying. A couple people have argued it, but it just, their arguments don't really hold up. If you look at the axis of the wings, the angles, and everything, you'll see what I'm talking about. But, you know, it's very interesting how all of a sudden, you know, they say, oh, you know, magically we don't have Bin Laden's body, or we, you know, ejected his body at sea, gave him a funeral. You know, everything's just changing ever so rapidly and so quick. I mean, they had to come out and convince people that, you know, Obama's the greatest thing for making this decision. And, you know, now it's to the point on the media where they're literally saying, hey, I only believe it if it comes out of Obama's mouth. You know, so that was some guest on Hannity the other day was literally like, you know, I'll believe it when I hear it come out of Obama's mouth, as if he's the all-knowing, mighty God. You know, the buck stops with him, and he has the final say on everything. Apparently now, so
the power of the executive branch doth grow, as does the American empire, just like every single other empire that has ever existed in history, is unsustainable and will collapse in itself in a quite atrocious fashion. Is this the future that people really want to see? I mean, they sit back and they watch this BS going on television, and they don't do anything about it. Now, there are a small number comparatively to the size of the what they term the sheeple, and I don't like calling them that, but you know, sometimes it seems appropriate. There is a growing resistance movement that is getting information out very, very quickly. I mean, the day of the Obama death, Osama death, Freudian slip there.
Oops.
There were just so many hits on all of the truth movements affiliated websites.
Now you're in a echelon keyword random generator, and it just keeps repeating Obama death, and you're being screened by the Secret Service right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
for making that mistake right now, so you can think. Secret Service.
Okay, let's just add gelic knight, explosives, TNT, nuclear dirty bomb, biological attack, terrorism, terrorist.
I see them there outside my door.
Jihad Muhammad. Durka, and... Well, you get the idea. It's just you, me, and the intelligence agencies listening. And suppose that eventually one person, one analyst, will actually have to go over this kind of material that we're talking about here. Unwittingly, they become exposed to our particular brand of propaganda and get slowly brainwashed to believing what we know to be true and turn against their masters.
Sure.
You know, so let them listen. Let them listen. We've got plenty of stuff to say. There's a heck of a lot you'll be listening to when you're analyzing this stuff, I'll tell you what.
Absolutely.
One thing people don't really understand is that when you sit down and you watch a movie or a sitcom or something along those lines, something that's on television or the mainstream news, it's never, ever, ever quite as fulfilling intellectually as, say, a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well... you know, and then there's some people that, you know, they don't have the attention span of a pea. So, you know, they can't even watch a documentary. You know, there's, I mean, I'm like the opposite now. I can't even make it through a mainstream movie, hardly. And I pretty much only watch documentaries.
It's almost like becoming allergic to President BS, you know, and as soon as he comes out on the platform, you go, you know, like a vampire being hit with the sunlight, as it were.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about the sort of vampirical nature of what we're dealing with here, because as far as I see it, the president's a puppet. He's basically a fraudster, etc., lies about absolutely everything, and incidentally is starting to give himself dictatorial control of the entirety of the United States via executive fiat. So what we have here is a puppet dictator, which means any time that anybody's elected in the US, you're simply replacing one elected puppet dictator for another elected puppet dictator. And the people that pull the strings on these puppets never change.
No.
This is the political situation that we find ourselves in. What exactly tactically can we do as alternative media, or rather the media? I think they're the alternative to reality, quite frankly, when you talk about mainstream. It's what exactly tactically can we do to help foster this sort of human journey here? Because I think we're stuck in something that may rip roar into a massive earthquake.
I think we need to look for a like an ace in the hole or something. You know, for instance, possibly the globalists are planning on, I don't know, say they're planning on what we're going to react to, and they pretty much know how we're going to react. So if we change that up, we might be able to trick them. An example would be, say they know we're all going to vote for Ron Paul. Well, what if we switched it up and voted for Trump? What if, as an example, what if we need some kind of little maneuver that we pull on them that they're not going to expect, and somehow figure out how to organize something like that, behind the scenes, or whether it's from people's just own intuition, depending on what's going on. But sooner or later, they're going to bobble, and we're going to catch them. So, I still have hope that I think we're pushing them around enough to where they're starting to make mistakes. So that's a good sign.
Well, have they been making the mistakes the whole time, but only now has there been an awake population to notice?
Yeah, well, good point.
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest from the intelhub.com is Shepherd Ambellis. And we'll be right back. Check us out at guerrillamedia.co.nz. Back in a moment.
Gentlemen, to the show that's all about organized crime. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio.
And my very special guest, Shepherd Ambellis from the Intel Hub, joins us from the now Gulf Streamless, stricken and frozen, and incidentally flooded and tornado blastery.
Yeah.
USSA. Welcome back.
Yeah, it feels like the USSA. Yeah, that's another thing you brought up, tornadoes. The weather everywhere is just acting up. We have, reports coming out, every day now of, floods. You name it, they have it. And, on the same token, they're actually geoengineering the planet, and now we know this is actual reality. It's not a conspiracy theory. There's the USGCRP, or the United States Global Change Research Program. You can just Google USGCRP and go right to their website, the government website, and it'll tell you all about it. Geoengineering, and it you can find on that website the presidential budget that they have posted, the supplement to the presidential budget, and Congress has approved this, and it goes all the way up to the president. But yet, members of the Congress say chemtrails don't exist. Meanwhile, they're giving billions of dollars in revenue not including the black budgeted allotted budget for chemtrail spraying. But this is just what's openly admitted for geoengineering. You can Google an article, secret presidential chemtrail budget. Just Google that, and the article will pop up from theintelhub.com, and just click on that. And it has all the information in there. I mean, this USGCRP, Vinny, is comprised of 13 different member agencies, the EPA, Department of the Interior, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, every agency you can imagine is involved with it, and it just shows, you know, how involved the government is with this. And they've, you know, we have their documents. This goes back to the 90s. They started funding it. They're now spraying over 350 million tons of barium, aluminum, aluminum salts, whoa, strontium, and other chemicals into the atmosphere every year.
Where do they source these billions of tons of barium?
Yeah, that's what I'm working on right now, on finding, you know, where, what companies are providing this, and where they're getting it. Now, in that article, if you Google secret presidential chemtrail budget and click on the IntelHub.com's article that Avalon and myself wrote, you'll see in it where, you know, there was a lot of research done on all this. They went ahead and researched how many bases they were going to have around the world, where they would be located in U.S. territories. Would they just have one base? Would they have 10? You know, they did a total cost analysis. How do they get this stuff up into the air? How many tons can a certain types of jet aircraft hold? You know, they even did an analysis, Vinny, on using high-altitude tethered balloons that go around spraying this, which they've actually designed. We have the photos of them now, and they actually operate.
Let's hope one of them doesn't crash in New Mexico.
Ooh, that'd be scary. Another Roswell. So, you know, there's all of these things they proposed. They actually thought they could blast aerosol spray up into the upper atmosphere with cannons at the cost of trillions of dollars per year, and they decided against that. So they just decided they're going to spray us like cockroaches, and this would be the most effective way to spray the planet to do their geoengineering and allow for the them to conduct their scalar weaponry and scalar radar exercises, scalar tracking, implement that globally, weather weapons.
People are unaware of what scalar tracking is. To my understanding, it's when your DNA emits a specific frequency that's unique to you, and it gives off and a scalar tracker is basically just picking up on that individual frequency so they can track you wherever you go.
Sure, that's part of it, and through other technologies from people I've interviewed, former NSA, people such as A.C. Griffith and others talk about this. But this technology is actually so advanced that it can track your individual signature. Yes, much like your aura, and it assigns, you know, a number to that or something. But not only that, they can run past, present, and future scenarios on the battlefield. Whatever they have in operation. So using advanced technology, they can run wargaming scenarios, past, present, and future scenarios using scalar technology. How far they can jump into the future with that, I don't know. It might only be seconds or minutes, but apparently it's very advanced. And it gets into underground base type technology and whatnot, real black budgeted technology. So these chemtrails not only kill you, essentially slowly from breathing these poisons in. They're used to track you. They're used for advanced operations like looking glass type operations, black ops, and as well as geoengineering, weather modification, weather manipulation, and HAARP activities.
It boggles the mind, right, if you're unexposed to this already. For me, it's just like, yep, they've got the most advanced technology on Earth. Yep, they can track everything that you do. Yep, they actually are doing it already. Mm-hmm. And they have a much, much dastardly plan, more dastardly plan than you could ever conceive of. In fact, anybody who would even think of a plan like this, they'd be touted as being nuts, because that's precisely what the elite have turned into. Just a bunch of nutcases. You know, they've gone mad with power. And, you know, F everybody else, basically. That's their motto.
Sure.
Look after your own, look after your family, and take control of this world. It couldn't be as clear whether it was a comic book or a headline, okay? It's the same frickin' story over and over again. And for some reason, people have been conditioned into thinking that bad guys don't exist, that there's no such thing as coercion or secrecy. It's beyond the pale here. We're in dark frickin' territory, you know? And nobody's immune. It's a new world order for a reason. They're taking control of the entire world, and they want to do it simultaneously with massive crises in every part of the world, so that everybody will be so destitute, so poor, so hungry, that they'll accept any kind of civility and order out of all of this chaos. What a nice, fabulous communist one-world government with supercomputer god surveillance powers on everybody. All right, that's the future. Imagine yourself wearing a frickin' dog collar all your gosh darn life. Don't submit, okay? Not while there's still some freedom left, because there's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for.
What if they just pretty soon put those collars on everyone like they have in the movie Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger? And then if you go beyond a barrier or break some law, your head just instantly blows off right there.
Well, I'd probably say that they already have something like that going on somewhere in some secret base or something. You know, they've got these particular slaves or something like that, and they test out all the nasty technology on them. You know?
Could you imagine being the tester or the testee?
Well, to my knowledge, lots of intelligence programs and weapons testing has been conducted on the public without the public being told about it whatsoever. I believe sarin gas was even pumped into a New York City subway to see how it would spread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this kind of stuff happens all the time, and people forget that the most likely thing to kill you, or at least in the 20th century anyway, is your own government.
Sure.
Your own elected government, no less.
They've been caught numerous times. I mean, it's just like with this fluoride in the water. It's a byproduct of aluminum manufacturing. And, you know, I didn't know this until recently. I just did an article on it. We'll be releasing it in the morning, I think. But I was doing a bunch of research, and it, you know, fluoride affects your thyroid gland much like radiation would, and they know this, and that's why they put this byproduct, this rat poison, essentially, like in your toothpaste, pretty much anywhere they can get it, in your toddler's drinking water now. At the store, you know, with added fluoride, anything and everything to destroy your thyroid. And now mixed with all the Fukushima radiation floating around, there's a big risk for cancer, you know, right now.
Oh, yeah, Fukushima will certainly Fukushima right up. Look, sterility and deformed children. That is a new reality everybody in the Northern Hemisphere, at the very least, is going to have to get used to. Okay? That's from my point of view anyway. And apparently 90% of the Pacific Ocean is contaminated, all the sea life and everything like that. So, yeah. Be used to living in a radioactive world. You need to be able to flush radioactive particles out of your body. If you don't, they will fester, cause cancer, deformity, and goodness knows what else.
Yeah, it's scary. And, you know, I'd almost be scared to fish now.
I'm not eating fish for the next 18 months at least.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff's floating around. There's the everything that happened with the BP oil spill to top it off. It's pretty scary, really.
I mean, the oceans are the major breadbaskets of the world, believe it or not, you know. Imagine what happens when nobody has any source of protein that they can get out of the oceans no more because it's all either radioactive or contaminated with Corexit 9500 and frickin' oil Kano juice.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it does not go good with barbecue sauce. You say that again. No. It does not go good with barbecue sauce.
Not at all.
I mean, and even Barack H. O'Berry, President BS himself, staged some kind of a thing like, hey, we're swimming in the Gulf, when they're actually swimming off the coast of frickin' Spain. And there was another part where they was eating, supposedly Gulf-caught shrimp that were actually imported. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
The faith could not be more open, all right? Even a rudimentary analysis would reveal that virtually every single thing that the president does is a bad thing.
Yeah. You know? Could you imagine you just go down to the Gulf and he just breaks out these shrimp? You know, they're probably a $200 plate of shrimp imported, and just literally just sits there and chomps them down, and he's just like, oh, the Gulf seafood's great. Meanwhile, there's like an oil slick behind him in the background, essentially. And, you know, this is the type of message your president is delivering to people. And then people's memories are so short, they don't realize that he's lied at every single step of the way. I mean, I don't even think he's upheld one promise, maybe one.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true, which was why I instantly doubted the Osama story, because it came from the mouth of the president himself, which incidentally, I'm led to believe, he actually recorded that an hour earlier, and then they broadcast it as if it was breaking news. Was that true?
You know, I don't know, but I wouldn't, it wouldn't surprise me. You could see clearly, they were hyping it up. Geraldo, live Geraldo, you know, it just looked so staged, when the information was coming out, and then CNN actually had the intel and they weren't releasing it. So they were clearly told to hold back, while they were building is what they were doing essentially is trying to, rile up a bunch of college kids to go down to the White House and start setting off fireworks. And magically, people started appearing with banners all over that might have taken hours to produce. But magically, they just showed up instantly at the White House, in large crowds, like it was a big spectacle. I mean, it looked just like scenes from Al Jazeera. Of the Middle East.
Oh, yeah. Interestingly enough. And I couldn't see an overweight person among them, which I thought was very quite strange for the average American crowd. It just reminded me, I was just wondering if they were all soldiers at that moment, you know?
Sure.
Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show, and we'll be right back. All the illegal immigrants currently crossing the border to the United States, at last count, I was thinking it was something like 1,800 a day, cannot hide from the auto turrets. Now,
that's what they should do. Just put, like, you know, everyone's seen the movie Aliens, where they have that gun. It's like an auto turret. They just put it out, you know, anywhere, and then it just starts firing at anything that moves. Or you know what else they can do? Just a 100-yard zone painted red, and it's a shoot 'em on sight zone. Anything in that zone, just you, it's open season.
Oh my goodness! It reminds me of the movie Babylon AD, where they just have predator drones that patrol the borders and just shoot at anything. And
like, you know what? I mean, it would be more effective. I mean, if you really want border security, I mean, that's the way to do it. Just fly predator drones around and just bomb anything on that red line when it moves.
I mean, and you want to have big signs posted in Spanish and English, of course, saying "Do not cross this red line; you will be blown into tiny bits."
If you're colorblind, it's they might have to put Braille on the sign, or if you're blind, you know.
How would the blind person find the sign? I mean,
you have to fill it out. I mean, you would just have to fill it out.
It'd be risky. I'd wonder why a blind person would risk crossing the U.S.-Mexican border alone.
Maybe they thought it was the Canadian border.
Is this the Rio Grande? Oh, no, it's a gutter. Because there's portions of the Rio Grande that basically are a gutter, you know? So something like, what was it, about 1,500 miles or something is naught but a drain, you know? It's nothing.
I mean, Michael Chernoff, all these people are profiting off of this border fence, more than likely, that doesn't even work. I mean, don't you think shoot 'em on sight would be better? I mean, Americans need target practice.
Well, you know, I mean, if everybody was issued a blue helmet as they crossed over the border so that they could be shot, I would, you know, I'd think about it.
I just think that the ruthless
extermination of Mexicans doesn't seem like a grand idea.
No, and you won't
get them all either. And not to mention, think about the backlash from the already illegal migrated Mexicans who have their families coming over the borders and stuff. Like, it would be a PR propaganda spectacle to get everybody's guns taken off them, I reckon. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think they should shoot them on sight, but, you know, it would be a good deterrent to do something like that.
It would be like the deterrents that were against marijuana, but they don't work, obviously. People just want something better in their life, and there's people who get people smuggled from Angola or wherever the hell. And,
no,
you know,
but in all seriousness, if you tried to climb over the fence in Russia, you're probably getting shot.
Or if you climb over the fence of certain patriotic talk radio hosts, they will shoot you because they believe in their right to bear arms, man.
And, sure. You wouldn't want to crawl in the AJ's backyard.
Oh, no. That would just be suicide, you know? So, absolutely. I mean, one free man protecting his home is more powerful than 10 hired soldiers.
Sure.
Unless, of course, they have LRAD or crowd control weapons, and then you're screwed.
I'm one of those weird radio people. I'm just, like, unprotected. I just, like, stand out in the middle of nowhere in the open, and I do my show via satellite, and I like to just stand in the wide open the whole time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I operate under the same predication that there's really nowhere to hide, so what's the use in hiding? You know, so I see a lot of people trying to protect themselves from the lights of public scrutiny, and I'm just like, well, you know, you got to stand in the light, man, if you want to bring it about. But, you know, I mean, some people do have very genuine reasons to fear being, taken out by certain people who don't like what they say.
You ever see those old war movies where, like, the general is just walking through a war zone like it's nothing and everyone else is ducking down and, you know, things are blowing up everywhere? Yeah. It's almost like you get accustomed to it, and then it's just your job anymore. So, you know, it's just your duty, so you don't worry about those things.
Yeah, I mean, if I get shot, I get shot. It's like the old Norse belief that, you know, if we're going to sleep restfully tonight, because if we die in our sleeps, we're going to die anyway.
Sure.
I mean, it speaks to me that there is this kind of fostering warrior spirit that's sort of reawakening. It kind of got conditioned out of us, but now... there's counter-propaganda mechanisms being put in play against the idea of standing down, being a slave, paying your taxes, etc. And it's growing day by day. So what we're really thinking about in terms of charting a new course for the world is that I don't have any idea what the world should be like, but I certainly know what that world would exclude. And that would exclude enormous family-owned banks that issue our freaking currency, for one.
Yeah.
We can all agree on that. Okay, let's go with that. Let's get the F rid of that kind of mechanism there that would absolutely cripple our enemy. We come together on the points we agree so that we can do some damage to the enemies of humanity. That's what
sure.
I think.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
And whatever eccentricities or fleas or particular rights that you think people should have, I think they're basically irrelevant because all our rights are undermined in the meantime by these big things that we can all agree on.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this, these oil prices. Obama, our fearless leader, came out a couple weeks ago, and he said, hey, I'm going to check into it. I'm going to find out what's going on with oil prices and whatnot. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about it. These oil companies profit anywhere from 4 to 9%, not a very big profit margin. But what I do know is government tax on oil and gas exceeds 41% in some cases. So who's the real culprit? I mean, Obama should just drop that whole tax then if he wants to save the American people money. I mean, none of this makes any sense. And you'll never hear that on the mainstream TV. But, I mean, why wouldn't you just drop the tax if you were truly interested in, you know, saving the Americans money? But no, you know, they don't even want you to bring that issue up.
Yeah. I mean, at first he was Osama bin Denayan, Osama bin Hayden, and now he's Osama bin Shot. It's you know, it's come on, you know, how can they dance the boogeyman around over everybody and say, now we need more security because the threat has been eliminated?
Hey, we need no-fly lists on trains now, apparently.
Oh, and we need to pat down babies.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Okay?
Yes,
That's what America's about.
They've started doing all this. They've implemented it now at TSA. So it's pretty much just a Nazi environment, conditioning the masses to just accept anything. I mean, they're just going to grope your children. They're going to train you. You know, you're a slave, and that's that. And you know, some people are standing up and speaking out and waking up to this, but there's still a lot of people going along with it. You know, do they want to opt out and waste 20, 30 minutes of their day because they opted out and they made a spectacle? Or do they just want to go get radiated and get cancer? It's, you know, it's their choice. Tough times we live in when people will, a lot of times they'll just make a quick choice because it's more convenient, because people are really lazy now. So typically they're gonna just take the easy choice.
Yeah. Well, it's a heck of a lot easier to watch The Biggest Loser than it is to be on the show, you know what I'm saying? And everybody's kind of got this this excess weight of ignorance weighing down upon them, and they need to be whipped into shape quick smart. They need to learn how to take care of themselves, and they need to learn that one man is responsible for another. Okay, we're all part of this one family, and we're all responsible for each other, and we all look out for each other. Okay, it's the reason why we were once strong. We were both unified. It's because we actually gave a flying F about one another, and we took responsibility. Now, convenience has taken the place of loyalty. Thanks very much, Shep, for coming on the show with me today.
Anytime.
It's good to talk about the diabolical things that are being done and the reasons why you should do good things about it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Sure. There's so many avenues available right now for people to speak out and utilize with this social media, the internet, the whole nine yards. So if people just get out there, maybe eventually we'll defeat these globalists.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Shepherd Ambellus from the IntelHub.com, ladies and gentlemen. Check out the fabulous articles there, which we often post to gorillamedia.co.nz. And again, Shep, thanks, man. It's been a real pleasure and an honor, sir.
Thanks so much, Vinny. We'll see you later.
All right. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Busy man. Extremely busy man. And with the next hour, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a rock-shaken guest from Christchurch. Back in a moment. Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room there. My very special guests, plural for a reason, two remarkably fabulous individuals, one who is causing movements and shakes all over the radio airwaves bi-monthly, organising a United We Strike marathon radio broadcast. It's Karen Quinn Tostado from United We Strike, and also coming at us live from the most shaken city in New Zealand and boogieing it down, it's Blair Anderson from Mild Greens in Christchurch, New Zealand, in the heart of earthquake country. Welcome to the show, guys.
Ed, welcome to you.
Okay. Now, we wanted to talk about, firstly, Karen, I'd love it if you could just divulge a little bit about this upcoming marathon broadcast on United We Strike Radio.
Well, what we are doing is we're encouraging individual education and collective action. And so the 15th of every month is a marker. It's a gauge for people to pull out more of the system, to boycott multinational corporations who are really the ones behind this, to play the money game and to keep ours out. We have over 300 million of us in the United States and over 6 billion globally. And imagine the amount of money we can keep out of the system when we take collective action. Our goal is to finally get their attention. If they want to give us rolling blackouts here in the United States, we'd like to respond with rolling boycotts, but also globally. So the 15th of every month, we are taking action with people all over the world and keeping our money at home. We're keeping it out of multinational corporations. We're supporting locally owned businesses. And what we're also doing is encouraging people to get more and more off the grid, use it as a marker. So this Saturday, We've got a marathon the second Saturday of every month to focus on the strike. The strike will be on Sunday and also on the weekend. If people can start to get that into their hearts and minds and understand that we outnumber them, and the only reason that we're in this mess is because we're compliant. We've been brainwashed, but we're compliant. So by taking collective action, we are really hoping to make a difference, and we are making a difference. Because when people start to really get that their compliance every day sends a message to the system that we're okay with all the frauds that are global, not just in this country, but global, when they understand it's their participation that's needed to make this machinery run, and they see that our greater numbers will prevail, they're starting to understand that with unity, we can come together. We're not the silver bullet, but we're about uniting people to take collective action and then to start cleaning up their own local neighborhoods.
You're not the silver bullet. You're simply the nickel-plated pistol. And and also, Blair, you've been, living in Christchurch for quite a while now, and you've gone through both earthquakes, and the media are talking about how the damage in the CBD, et cetera, but apparently the whole city is still basically in utter shambles. How's it been down there?
Well, it's a city of two halves, really. There is certainly the CBD and extensive damage. There's still some 200-odd properties that in the central business district, and that means even more businesses that are occupying them that are still to be decided. I mean, it's a contentious issue where the tension between, you know, the right to go into private property and recover things like business equipment, it's February the 22nd since the earthquake, and there's businesses that simply can't operate because they can't get at their equipment, their files, and all that sort of stuff. So there's those kind of issues, but there's also the great unknown for the something like 10 to 12,000 householders whose houses are, according to the new technical term, munted. My own house, I can live in it. The toilet's working, the electricity's working, the water's working, all that sort of stuff, but the repair bill will be over $100,000, and you don't know when you can start on that because the insurance companies are just simply ill-equipped to deal with a problem of this dimension and scale. So there's the tensions between rich and poor. It was the east side of Christchurch that was hit hardest. The burden, however, is going to be distributed across the whole of the community because the infrastructure has to be paid for. We've got extraordinary amount of old redundant sewerage systems that are going to have to be pulled out and new sewerage systems put in. And you've got whole suburbs of which it's dubious whether we'll ever want to rebuild on that land due to its propensity to liquefy in a moderate shake because of the severity of the larger quakes. This ground is now in such poor shape that it tends to just ooze with this kind of grey, liquid, sandy stuff that comes out from underneath and covers everything. They've had to remove over 350,000 tons of this stuff, and that's all the stuff that's accessible. It's not everybody's backyard and all the parks and reserves and all those sorts of places, the sports facilities and all those things that are low priority. It's just that's off the streets and off people's driveways, really. And so it's going to be, we're talking probably 20 years before the city will, the landscape of the city will be right, and a massive rebuild of the central business district. Certainly a massive rebuild of suburbia and the infrastructure that services it. And it's exciting times because the government has taken a militaristic top-down approach to this, whereas all the science and all the sociology says it's got to be bottom-up. It's the only way to do it. So it's political.
Is there, well, you know, every, what was it? Was it Rahm Emanuel who said, you know, you can never waste a crisis, and you just use it as any excuse to take power, you know? And this is happening to a degree in the Mississippi at the moment as well. Record melt because of the record snowfall, because of the record oil volcano, which caused a record drop in the Gulf Stream, which is basically the reason why the Northern Hemisphere isn't covered in ice all the time. So what we're talking about here is a global power grab as a response to all these big crises, you know. And again, you put the point there beautifully, is that it's all the top down that they want, but it's all the bottom up that should be there that would actually be effective.
This is absolutely right, and while I'm concerned that the administrative functions established under this top-down ideology could be used powerfully, because they have the legislative instruments that would be necessary even if you had a bottom-up approach. They don't even attend these bottom-up functions. They, you know, I attended one hosted by a very good member of the Green Party here in Christchurch. It was, I think, around about 200-odd, 250-odd people turned up for this presentation and discussion around what should be done and what could be done. And yet, when I asked the question, was there anybody from this organisation, ironically, it has the acronym I can't even remember now, but it lives under an acronym, and nobody knows who's going to be really making the decisions from a public perspective. It says it's going to be transparent and so forth, but these people don't even turn up to listen to what people are thinking, let alone the politicians that are driving it. So it is a concern, and it's not the only thing that, of course, affects us here in Canterbury. There's the water issue. The Land and Water Forum that was held throughout New Zealand was a constructive dialogue that's been hijacked by, again, another top-down approach to the problem, with the announcement that we're going to do it really with business interest at heart, because, you know, business pays the bills. That's going to lead to more cows on our otherwise dry land, feeding into our dirty, feeding effluent into our rivers, of which everybody's noting that New Zealand Pure, 100% Pure, the campaign of which we market ourselves internationally, is being robustly critiqued over on the BBC and so forth. So more dams, well, more irrigation, more, you know, business top-down approach, rather than protecting the things that we treasure.
And more central planning, and this is happening everywhere, I think, is that, you know, they want a centrally planned economy, centrally planned infrastructure, so that way nobody's got any independence, basically. What I think that would be a really brilliant idea in terms of government and investing and power generation and all of that is to invest in the production of individual capacitors for people's homes, you know, things like that. That way, they'd have their own power source, and I reckon that, you know, people could more or less be able to live off of tank waters and septic tanks to a greater extent. But of course, central plumbing's really an issue. But the difficulty is that we have a very crisis-prone infrastructure as a whole. And if one thing screws up and somewhere down the line, it means everything downstream is screwed up. You know, it's like they haven't taken any approach to independence or systems or getting it right. And as a result, many, many people, this is like a couple of months down the track, still don't have any running water, still living in red stickered houses, and still without power.
Well, you've got to have empathy with those people that are suffering the indignities of this. As I walked around my suburb last night with the dog, I noticed how many houses no longer have a car parked in the driveway, whose lawns are unmowed, who have that cracked window that's unrepaired and the roof tile that's off. These houses are abandoned. nobody's there. So it affects things like the corner dairy who doesn't sell that bottle of milk to, you know, the little old lady who lived in that house. The vet down the road doesn't get her cat. You know, all that kind of change in the fabric really affects people, and certainly on what I'd call the eastern side. And politicians should be aware that the eastern side of Christchurch is where the social conscience of Christchurch is. They should take note of that. It's important. But if you go over to the western side of Christchurch, where already the real estate agents are saying there's been no effect in terms of the price of houses. Any wonder when you look around that people who live over there, who infrequently come to this side of the city, the eastern side of the city where I live, they're living in a world that doesn't see any of the evidence of this earthquake. There's no buildings damaged. There's no roads that are, you needed four-wheel drive to negotiate them. We've got roads here that are tantamount to, buggered. They'll have to be, dug out and reset onto, with a base course layer that'll restabilize them, simply because the surface of them has been affected so badly by liquefaction. And the map of the city, the GIS mapping of the city that shows where this is, clearly shows massive areas. About a third of the fabric of the city, roadways, are seriously damaged by the softening of the underlying clay structures that have... because the city was effectively built on a swamp of the... how could I put it? By dint of the city being adjacent to a bunch of volcanoes and a large set of bays on either side of those volcanoes. We're on an alluvial plain from the wash from the southern Alps, but over the tens of thousands of years that it took to build the area that Christchurch sits on, and it's really only tens of thousands of years, the alluvial gravels and so forth on the western side of the city have provided some measure of stability. And certainly, while there are houses with the odd chimney toppled or a fence over or something like that, when you come to the softer soils of the clays and sandy deposits, my sand dune that I live on is only an estimated 600 years old. This was beach at the time of the settlement of New Zealand by Maori. It would be unsurprising for people to learn that I found greenstone buried in the sand where my house is. Worked greenstone brought here from the other side of the southern Alps by occupation at a time when this was effectively a beachfront sand dune, a remnant sand dune now. But how could I put it? I look down from a lofty height of about 3 metres over the balance of the plains, and the riverbeds have actually bulged up from the land adjacent to them being lowered. The actual beds of the river have come up.
In other words, it's a real son of a beach.
Well, it is in that sense, yes. But it is an opportunity to redesign, rebuild, and re-energize the city. We've lost a lot of our heritage architecture, but there's still a lot of heritage architecture that has survived. We've certainly learnt a lot more about building and taking a more precautionary approach in an earthquake-prone zone. We now know a lot more about the subterranean movement underneath the city. We've got a reasonable map of structures that we didn't know about, literally.
Well, see, my answer, Blair, would then be relocation, because if you've got to rebuild everything from scratch again, and that's what I think is going to have to happen regardless, why not actually build it with a brand new, fully designed city? This is an idea that was given to me by a friend, a brand fantastic, spanking new eco city, he said. Who knows?
A Brasilia.
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the slave chain nation of New Zealand. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We're jamming all day and all night. Well, it's actually only for 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 5 till 7 p.m. Central, sandwiched in between the fabulous James Burns on Freedom Files and Christy from the Truth Brigade. My two special guests for this hour are Karen Quinn Testardo of UnitedWeStrike.com and Blair Anderson from mildgreens.blogspot.com. And we wanted to talk about just kind of how crises themselves are being used to get a little bit more power out of the people, essentially. Do they take ours away, or do they just grow their own? Or is it a little bit of column A or a little bit of column B? Karen, what do you think?
I think it's more like generational planning, that they knew long ago that they wanted to have a new world order, the kings and queens, King Henry and his court and all of that, you know, off with their heads. And the only way that they could do that was to kind of get into the background a little bit. And then the bank ground, which is B-A-N-K-G-R-O-U-N-D, the bank ground of these families, when you see that the money's involved there, and all the rules and regs that they put on us, they just keep successfully brainwashing us into believing that our lives depend on fitting into the system and supporting our governments gone wild, and that they have planned it out. You know, Alan Watt is a great researcher who really reads from their own books. And I don't know, Vinny or Blair, if you've read Brave New World by Alex Huxley.
Yep.
I've seen the movie with Leonard Nimoy.
It's scary. It's very scary, but when you start to really look at it...
I didn't think it was that scary. It just looked quite normal.
I haven't seen the Leonard Nimoy one, but I did see the old one with, I think it was Richard Burton? Maybe I'm thinking of... the other one, there's two books out there that really give a chilling portrayal of our future, and it's Brave New World and 1984. And both of those books are, when you look at them and you read them and then you see the films, they really do set the tone for what is happening. You know, with eviscerating our rights, with being able to lie to us and call it the truth, with having the ministry of truth. We have so many different ministries. We've got czars. We've got all of these plans, and at least on this side of the pond, they passed legislation without even reading it that we're subjected to right now. They've got the smart meters that they're instilling in California and having some problems with that as people's bills go up and they make mistakes. But it's this whole plan of global government, which in my opinion we already have, and have had for a while, but they're tying up the loose ends. They're into eugenics. They're into really dumbing us down to the point where we just totally believe everything we hear from the privately owned mass media, and we go about our lives, you know, not realizing that every day we go to work, they're taking our money. They're taking our money, and under the guise of telling us we've got to protect the environment, they're using our money and packing bombs with depleted uranium to blow up in other parts of the world, mainly the Middle East. But at the same time, they want us to get green light bulbs that have mercury in them, and they want us to pay our taxes and to be good, obedient slaves to a system that's designed to eviscerate us, to funnel us into channels that are already set up to where we're fully indoctrinated, and we think that we're free, but none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. And in order to get our freedom, we've got to start thinking for ourselves. A friend of mine says BYOB, that's bring your own brain, and use it. You know, start to use it. Research for yourself. That's another thing the 15th is about. When you pull out of the system, turn off the TV, turn on your mic, turn on your computer, or open a book and start to really learn about what's going on, because the truth is rapidly being taken from us and being made to disappear as revisionist history shows up in the recent resurrection of Osama bin Laden, you know?
Yeah. It's so hilarious.
Yeah. So that's who I think he is. The president right now is BS, Barry Saturo, and that's all we get from him is more BS.
Well, you know, I say that he's now known to me as President BS. And, you know, kind of like LBJ, a lying, besheveled joker, you know. It's beyond a joke. I can't even express in words just how freaking crazy the mainstream media and the politicians are. I mean, they must be absolutely out of their freaking minds. How many pharmaceutical drugs are these dipshit Muslims taking every day? You know, what are they eating? Are they eating nothing but Starburst and packaged Doritos or something? It's just out of this world. You know, they're sick in many, many ways, and as a result, the Republic and our fabulous little crown owned corporation known as the Queen and Right of New Zealand, it's just going in absolutely to the dogs. You know, a big pack of hungry, feasting, authoritarian dogs. And they don't give a flying F about any of us. You know, and it's just so saddening.
It is. Have you seen pictures, though, of Obama that show the scars on his head?
Scars on his head?
Yes.
You mean like Darth Vader?
I mean, yeah, I do. I mean, like, maybe a brain surgery. Maybe they put one in there, but it's very interesting. He's got huge scars going around his head, which definitely look like he's had brain surgery.
I'm in shock. So that's an candidate brain implant.
Who knows? Did you see it, Blair?
I saw the photo or the Photoshop version of Obama characterized him how you would expect he might look if the seals had jumped through his window.
I'd be very distressed.
A bit laden facsimile.
Yeah. I'd be very distressed if something came into my room, so I go, you know.
I'm talking about the Navy SEAL, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're
only slightly better trained, you know.
That's it. And they're not as well armed. But if you do a search, you will see that Obama does have scars on his head, and that's kind of frightening. Plus, I think the American people, to a certain point, it's so disheartening to see the people so happy about Osama, you know, really sucking up the propaganda here and not understanding what goes beyond it. And now they've also had a new decree here in New York where from now on, like all the cell phones, which obviously have been spying on us for quite a few years, now they're going to have the presidential alerts and everything, and they want to put the TNA into shopping malls and railway stations. You know, they want you to be totally afraid at every minute, so much so that you're willing to be felt up in public by people who can't get any other kind of job, who are power hungry and obviously have they're really hard up for the money or into power to take a job with TNA here screening. But then again, when all is said and done, they'll have to deal with the extra radiation that they're having to stand next to by putting other people through it.
Well, at least they won't be able to reproduce and multiply the amount of TSA agents in their country, eh?
No, I didn't look at it like that. That's a great point.
To every dark hand of shadow government, there is a silver lining.
Brother.
At least these violating pedophilic sons of biatches won't be having no kids of their own to molest. How fantastic is that? Well, the swimmers.
If we could just stop molesting other
people. Yeah, yeah. Well, One thing that I've found quite distressing is this recent story on Guerrilla Media about how the TSA agents were frisking a baby, a few-month-old baby. Guy snapped a picture of it on his cell phone when he's at an airport, right? And this is the interesting thing. The TSA agents, they don't frisk any of the men. They only frisk the women and the children. Isn't that interesting? It's a six-year-old girl as well. It was in the news last week about this. And the TSA agent put his hand in her pants. You know? I think we're just being trained to be absolute slaves. No dignity, just like prisoner training. You know, when they march you into prison and they strip you down and they put, you know, like on Shawshank Redemption, you know? Are we going to be deloused when we go into the frickin' airports in the future? I mean, come on.
They are the logical equivalent of the same people who lock the doors on the carriages going to Auschwitz. You know, they're not owning or having or taking any responsibility for that which they do. They're hiding behind the mask of I was asked to do it, and that's what my job is. And unfortunately, that's the same thing that occurs in that other area of the subject domain I work in, Vinny, in drug policy. And we've got this Law Commission report here in New Zealand. This was a statutory empowered Law Commission report that everybody's fawning over, saying, oh, it's really fabulous. We're going to have a kinder, softer, gentler kind of prohibition. We're not going to prosecute people the first time. What they fail to recognise that in here in Christchurch, 4 out of 5 young people up to the age of 33 have smoked cannabis more than 5 times. The naivety of this report is out. I was on record on Television 3 of saying this should be sent to the Serious Fraud Office because it's not fixing the problem. We just incarcerated a guy for stealing alcohol after the earthquake here in Christchurch, as if somehow he had broken some cardinal law, or, you know, that thou shalt not steal from people when the world is falling in around you. But, you know, and that was additionally offensive to have done so. But look what he was stealing, alcohol. The guy didn't even have, you know, he didn't have a job. He was a poor guy who had just come out of prison. You know, we're failing to see the big pictures for what they are. The pretense that this Law Commission is a more sensible drug policy is still constrained by the fact that we're kowtowing to US and UN initiatives saying that cannabis should remain illegal. We failed to do the good work. We failed to do the cost-benefit analysis. We failed to account for the mess that prohibition leaves us in. So I just noted that the UN's official capacity on drug control, the UNODC, is waxing lyrical about we're not searching enough containers. You know, millions of these containers are floating around the world. We cannot hope to search every one of them, but they sort of don't realise that these laws and the unnecessary death of a number of people in Bolivia the other day, whose job it is to track down drugs, is created by the very prohibition that they endorse. And yet this is happening all on their watch.
And they make money off of it. You know, our soldiers are guarding poppy fields in Afghanistan. I think the biggest thing we fail to recognize is that we really have a mafia-style system in power that we enable. And instead of using common sense and common law, we are loaded down with a bureaucracy of laws that are totally, they are legal because they've been constructed within this legal UN corporate BS system, but they are totally unlawful and they are against the God-given rights of people to have life, liberty, property, happiness. That's what we need to wake up to, in my opinion, and that's what United We Strike is trying to do. Say, look, we've got so much more in common than we do with bankers in the background who are manipulating everything and training us to give away our power. We know in our gut something is wrong. This is the 21st century, and it seriously is time for a raising of consciousness. We need to understand that throughout history, we've been pitted against each other, divide and conquer, so that the ones in the background can be wealthy by stealing from us. They will not allow us to live our own lives, to find out what it is that we are good at, what we love to do. And instead of celebrating our lives and being able to take the time to be self-sufficient, which we all could do, we could all have an acre of land without being overpopulated. We could all have an acre in land and live. I've heard in New Zealand was still part of that country left over. But they don't want us to know that. They don't want us to know that instead of being overpopulated, we're dumbed down, we're forced into cities, we're taken off of the greater part of land. Because if we did that, if we became self-sufficient, if we stopped going along with our own demise, we'd outnumber them and we'd be able to change our world very quickly, simply by refusing to go along any longer with our own demise.
Well, you know, it stops any time that we want it to. You know, people don't realize the immense power that consent and refusal has. It is the fundamental of all power, whether you allow something to happen or choose to just stop it, you know. If I was trying to, I don't know, come up with some idea for a better world, I'd start doing something about it, wouldn't I? And then eventually, there's a possibility at least, that a better world would come about. However, there are some people, what I call armchair patriots, who just basically, they learn all the information, but they don't kick it into high gear. They don't start making content or handing out leaflets or DVDs or helping people that do. You know, they basically just absorb information and get depressed. Anger is depression plus motivation. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. My very special guests are Karen Quinn Tostado and Blair Anderson. And we'll be right back. And welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about the end times. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the lighter side of genocide. And we were talking over the break about the earthquakes that are going on globally, whether they were HAARP or anything like that. And an interesting conversation with Steve Quayle on the show a little while ago, saying that there's going to be this kind of false apocalypse, and that the New World Order Illuminati have got all the technology they need in order to make the Book of Revelations actually come true in a false flag kind of way and bring about a one world government through everybody freaking out about the end of the world.
That's very interesting. I've heard that too, and that there's a Project Blue Beam where they've set up different holographic machines all around so that people actually will see God in the sky or whatever they want them to see, or maybe the UFOs. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many movies coming out about the end of the world. In fact, think about it. How many movies have there been released just in the last, like, maybe even just 5 years that have involved the end of the world?
Right.
It's almost it's a huge amount of them, you know, ranging from zombie movies to virus movies to nuclear bomb movies to aliens invading movies to predictions of the end of the world movies like Knowing and so on and so forth. And we talk about predictive programming, and David Icke refers to this as kind of end-time programming, how they're basically trying to convince all of us that the end is nigh, and there's three-fifths of F all we can do about it. And so we just stand down to whatever tyranny that presents itself. And you know, I kind of subscribe to that theory. It's a good plan if you're a total psychopath.
I think it's a brilliant plan, and that they have done a lot of this. If you think about it, the books that we revere, religions, are definitely have always been involved in politics. I mean, you look back at Rome, you look into also King Henry and England and all of that. Religion and politics are very, very much married and always have been. And if you know that you want control, then you edit the books. All of them were edited. You know, the Council of Nicaea edited Christian Catholic philosophy. And if you know that you want certain things to be in there, that's what you put in, and you take out other things. You know, the mystery schools, the burning of Alexandria. What knowledge don't we have that those in power do have? and by their editing and owning, you know, governments, politicians, media, everything. We just get the little pieces that they want us to hear. So it's nice to be able to break out. It's nice to be here on your program. And it's nice to be able to try and help inspire people to look for themselves. And that's what we're going to do, too, on Saturday. And, Vinny, you're going to be part of the program here, I am happy to say, on the marathon. It's going to start at 4 a.m. Pacific time and go until about 8 o'clock Pacific time. And, Vinny, you're going to be on at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, you and your producer, Mitch. We've also recently connected with the Sovereign Independent from the UK and also Ireland. That's the Sovereign Independent newspaper. There's an article in there about that. We've got German. We're going to start in German. We've got people from all different parts of the world, and we're really building and learning that standing together and overcoming our differences is far more important than believing the fallacies that we've been taught that keep us from thinking for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, we could just sit back and speculate and you know, think things through. And that would actually, even if it was just based on pure speculation, it would probably be closer to the truth than anything mainstream media has to show you. Because obviously, they have a party line and certain things that they can't say and all those nasty, dirty topics that you just don't want people to be discussing. So I say discuss away. And if people treat you as if what you're discussing makes you disgusting, then I say, who cares? You know, certain people will be led like sheep to the slaughter, but personally, I'd prefer to try and shepherd them. And, you know, you've got to tell people things that they don't want to hear sometimes. Because, hey, it's a heck of a lot easier to say, hey, somebody's going to come and take you to a camp, rather than somebody just coming and showing up and taking you to a camp. You know, a little bit of warning, people.
Well, and just different forms of thinking. There was a cartoon I saw years ago, and it stayed with me, and it was about a little pharaoh who had been a child anyway, and he was buried when he was young, and he was turned into a mummy, and so he fit halfway into the sarcophagus. He was always moving around because he couldn't get comfortable, and he lived in a museum. And he had a little friend who would come and see him, and it was like in the New York Metropolitan or something like that. So she'd come in, and she could hang out with this little pharaoh who was definitely into himself. And one morning, she came to see him and slid the top of the sarcophagus aside and said, you know, how'd you spend your morning? And he said, well, first I paid homage to the sun god Ra, and then I basked in my own glory until noon. And I thought, now, how cool is that? If we all could bask in our own glory, if we all really understood how wonderful we were, that divine essence that created all of us ran through each one of us equally. We all had gifts, and if we looked for those, if we looked for our joy, if we really started to rebuild our world individually, one heart, one mind at a time, we would not be so easily swayed into murdering other people for other people's agenda. We'd see that right here, right at home, is where we can make the biggest difference.
Well, you know, you've got to be, for some reason, pride is one of the deadly sins, is it? I mean, is it wrong to be proud of your achievements and to be able to, I don't know, help out other people or whatever? I don't know. But one thing that strikes me is that if you've got no self-confidence, if you don't think that there's anything worth it, if you're apathetic, nothing good's going to happen. Right, because you're not making good stuff happen, and people have seem to have forgotten just how powerful they are. You know, it's just like, holy cow, you can just go and build a house right now. You can go and paint a masterpiece of art. You know, everybody can do something that's pretty amazing if they just you know, bother to do it. But we're so distracted these days with all our cell phones, all the Skype messages, etc., etc. Sometimes, you know, you just need to turn all that stuff off.
That's it. And to see what it is about ourselves, what gifts that we do have. And one of the biggest problems is that we don't love ourselves. We don't see ourselves as individual creations of a greater power that have that greater power running through it. And all of us have the capability of really being able to create wonderful things through our individual capacity, through our connection. But instead, we divide ourselves and we fight against ourselves and we allow ourselves to be used as cannon fodder, pretending that our sacrifice is going to make a better world. And people who really look at the world will see that that is not true. And their greater gift could be in helping to recreate a world that all of us can thrive in.
I concur. And the nature of such things as drug laws, for example, are the, you know, one of the key driving parameters to in removing self-will, the notion that I'm responsible for myself. And in answer to your question made earlier about why people can't access their equipment and records in office buildings, is that our self-will has been removed. I would take responsibility for my own actions, not have somebody else arbitrarily dictate it.
Right, and they're training us always to have an expert tell us what to do. You can't think for yourself. Go to this expert.
Yep.
The whole world is run by experts. And look where that's got us.
That's right.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, people, for F's sake. It's just retarded, you know. It's been one of the words that I've just been really just loving to use just to describe how our society is being run. It's just plain retarded. There's no... Anybody who's got like a grand suit, grand tie, a master's degree, etc., hey, let's put them in charge of the monetary policy so that they can stiff the entire frickin' country because they happen to belong to the right clubs and like the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which is the New Zealand version of the Council on Foreign Relations, which settle our international policy and bring us ever closer into the loving embrace of the death grip of the New World Order. And I've been a globalist. I love enslaving people. I'm going to join a big club and I'm going to freaking kill you all. You know, it's just, they're just absolutely the worst monsters that you could ever conceive of. And people love them. They love them enough to vote for them. Is that not the worst freaking tragedy of all? Is that we have done it to ourselves. And I think Thomas Jefferson said that the people get the government that they deserve. But do we really deserve this kind of eugenics policy? I don't think so. I don't think we're that bad, quite frankly. But well, I could be wrong.
We seriously need to wake up. Voting is just a ritual that we've been trained to think will make a difference. And in my opinion, it doesn't. It's a distraction. They sit back there and laugh because all it does is it takes our money, it takes our time, it keeps us from focusing on the fact that we got a mafia running the world and destroying it with military madness. If we want to save any kind of semblance of nature for our descendants, we have to stop going along with this. You know, we've got Navy Air Force games in the Pacific. It's like the Pacific isn't messed up enough. Let's have mind games and blow bombs up underwater. We've got dolphins and whales who are now showing up, who are dead because of this, showing obvious signs of being around explosives. They're going to be bombing in the Gulf again, the ongoing BP Gulf massacre. They are destroying this planet. And then they're trying to tell us that we need these damn green light bulbs that have mercury and you need to have a hazmat suit in your own home if you break one.
Well, you know, that sounds like love and peace and harmony and mung beans to me. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests have been Blair Anderson and Karen Quinn Tostado from UnitedWeStrike.com and mildgreens.blogspot.com. We'll be back tomorrow with more fabulous guests, more fabulous information. And remember, fabulous is the Vinnie Eastwood Show party line, so vote fabulous this election. See you again sometime.
Cheers and bye.